Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. And, of course, you hear the dog, so you know it's the Education Watchdog segment of the Union Edge. In the house with us today, the pit bull of education, Butch Santa Cola. Butch, welcome back.
Hey, Charles, it's great to be back. And those dogs have been fed well, but we're going to keep them in the pen today. We have a visitor that's come right to the studio. It's in studio. Frequent flyer, as I like to call him. He's been on the show before. Matt Edgell from PSEA. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks, Butch. Thanks, Charles. Nice to be here.
Well, you know, I'll tell you how we corralled him in here very, very at the Labor Day Parade, which was a nice event. It was a very nice event. Saw a lot of people that support the Union Edge. Saw a lot of people just support labor. It was good to be there. And Matt and I were talking, and he was handing out a flyer dealing with an issue that really impacts labor everywhere, subcontracting. Matt, you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in general, subcontracting is an attempt to take the workers, the public workers in our case, that work for school districts or whoever, and outsource the labor to a for-profit private group. And the effect is that you save money by lowering wages and taking away benefits, and that's what subcontracting does.
Matt,
let me talk to you about that for a second. First of all, from the federal employee, we had to deal with that all the time, and quite frankly, what would happen is the contractors would come in, they would underbid the contract grossly. They would lose money year one, year two, year three. They would always hope that the agency would open the contract during the time that it was there so they could renegotiate, make a little bit of extra money. But at the end of the day, their whole game plan was hold on to this contract until the government agency no longer has the ability to perform that function.
Correct.
Then jack the prices through the roof.
Right. For example, if you are a busing company, if you're a transportation company, and you come in and you subcontract out the labor, the idea is to get the district to get rid of their bus fleet
sophisticated in the school districts as Charles.
It's not as sophisticated in the school districts. However, you're not just affecting federal employees and the public in general. You're affecting our most important commodity, and that's our children.
Oh, absolutely. The companies come in and they not only do they strip those jobs away, they pay less, like Charles said, and it's impressive to some people. But now people, I think, are catching on to this, Charles.
Correct. Now, I have to say, I did say that it saves money. The idea is that it will save money. Very often, it does not.
That's correct.
They'll come in with an underbid, and once you're in there and once you've established yourself and put your equipment in, well, if your bid doesn't come in at quite what it was supposed to, you're already in.
Yeah, a number of these things are going on in this state. It seems to be there's a rise almost in the number of subcontracting threats we have. It's like somebody went to a conference and said, "Hey, I heard about this concept. Let's give it a try."
Well, I originally saw this in Michigan. Michigan, had a pension spike. It's public employees' pension took a little bit of a hit, and they raised the pension contributions for the school entities and the state government.
Right.
And what it does, it made it more appealing because the school district's pension costs were getting higher. It made it more appealing to go outside to a group where you didn't have to pay them a pension. You didn't have to pay the same wages.
With the federal government, it was supposed to be equal. Pay and benefits to employees were not supposed to be part of this formula of what the costing was.
Yeah, unfortunately, but for school districts, it is. And that's universal. That's across the country. We're fairly lucky in Pennsylvania. At least we can come in and demand to bargain over the impact of subcontracting and see if we can quote unquote work something out. But basically we're as your last caller said, we're basically racing to the bottom when we do that. How do we beat out the bid that's underbid already And probably those savings won't come to fruition anyhow, but how do we get that bid down so that we can keep our folks' jobs?
And the sad part about this, the people that are being attacked with this subcontracting theory are probably the most loyal people you will find. They are people that live in the community. They care about those buildings. They care about those kids. And they really are relating to them well, the school district. And those are the people that are getting hurt.
Absolutely. It's another characteristic of working for a school district. Most of your employees, especially your educational support employees, live in the district. We estimate, pretty good estimate, but we estimate about 80 to 85% live in the communities in which they work.
I think that's accurate, Matt. I think that's really, really accurate. And those people are loyal. They're loyal. I ran into one at the Giant Eagle the other day. And he said, "Whoa, Butch!" And he's talking about how good the building is. But he had just retired,
right?
And he's still caring. He'll volunteer anywhere he can in the district. They love the districts that they work in.
Well, even for your and I want to put this in perspective. Even for those folks who have the lowest wages within a district or within a school entity, if you're in the middle of your career, the loss of wages and the loss of pension can affect you to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yes,
and the district, we have to remember something. What the district saves bleeds out somewhere else. You're talking about when you lose your pension, well, then there are going to be some sort of social services that are going to have to pick it up on the back end. If you lose your health care, and you don't have health insurance and you get sick, that puts a stress on the system.
Right.
So, these pensions, healthcare, they serve very important community. They're a very important community service, and they're very important to the well-being of the communities, both at the local level, state level, and national level.
And it's critical that, and I got to congratulate PSCA. The organization has done a really good job in fighting this through the advocacy staff that we have, Matt and the others, and you've done basically a pretty good job. My understanding, Matt, and correct me if I'm wrong, that in the cases where there has been a successful subcontracting made, that hasn't gone well.
Usually not.
Yeah, that's my understanding.
And to step back for a moment, in Pennsylvania, especially because we're still a labor state. We go in and we will, they're not going to get rid of the union. They're not going to bust the union. We're going to go back in and we're going to organize those subcontracted workers.
That's what they've learned.
So that takes away some of the, it's not about busting the union anymore. So either A, we're going to go in and we're going to, fight the subcontracting while we, B, try to bargain around that subcontracting. And if both of those fail, then C, we'll go in and organize those workers.
Right. And it's going to be an interesting time. How many, how many campaigns are going on? I know there's yours. There's one in Mars, but that one's settled.
The one in Mars is settled.
Yes.
I believe there are five statewide right now.
Right. Okay.
Which is not bad. They'll get worse though as the pension costs become more of a crunch for the school districts. You're going to see more and more pressure for them to subcontract. Yeah. Whether it saves money or not, it sounds good.
Yeah, that's where it's going
to
go.
Yeah, it's the knee jerk reaction that they go to when it's a problem. Listen, guys, we need to take a short break when we come back. But before we go, Matt, the health and safety issue for me is coming out, especially when we're talking about bus drivers. Time and time again, I'm a Teamster as part of my functions here. And Teamster school bus drivers that I know literally talk about they are carrying the most precious cargo anybody can carry.
Absolutely.
It goes on to your folks with PSEA who are driving the buses too, I'm sure. Health and safety, let's talk about what the ramifications are when they do outsource this, okay?
Yeah.
We'll come back and we'll talk about that. Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Of course, you heard the dogs, so you know it's the Education Watchdog, same in the Union Edge. And in the house today, we've got the Pitbull of Education, Butch Santacola. Butch, welcome back.
Thank you, Charles, again. Great to be back. And the dogs can go back in the pond and just get some.
Go back, take a nap.
Take a nap, and because we have somebody here, I'll talk them. Matt Edgel from PSCA.
I don't know whether to take that as a compliment.
Well, you should. You should. Anything we say here with the guest that's here, it's a compliment.
Okay.
So, Matt, before the break, we were talking about when you contract out these functions, bus driver and other things, my initial concern is health and safety for the kids.
Correct.
If you have a contracting company that is maintaining these buses, but their goal is quarterly profits and not health and safety, if they're willing to cut corners on pay and benefits for the employees, are we finding that they're also willing to cut corners on maintenance?
There have been cases of that, and we're always very anxious to point those out when they happen. Where you have buses broken down on the side of the road with kids on them for 3 or 4 hours waiting for repairs,
and they're that's not unacceptable.
And they're not answering. You have to remember, they're not answering to the district.
Right.
There's a word here: ownership. Okay, you lose ownership when you lose the employee. You lose ownership of not only the physical plant, the buses, the ovens in your cafeteria.
Right. The maintenance people. Everybody.
That you lose ownership and the ability to direct your workforce.
Okay, I have a question for you. Hair on the back of my neck standing up right now. I'm ex-military. I'm an ex-civil servant. When I was working for the taxpayers, and that's who I worked for, I was responsible to the taxpayers for, I had to justify my actions or be prepared to justify my actions. What you're telling me is if Joe Snuffy's bus company comes in and contracts for the school district, that they're not responsible to, they don't have to explain, they don't have to follow the directions of?
No, in order for it to be true subcontracting, the district has to give up the direction of that workforce. And the direction of that workforce
well,
is then
dumb.
Well, yeah, it's pretty dumb.
Not only occurs in bus drivers, maintenance.
Correct.
We had an issue.
Food
out
service.
In, construction out in Moon. They were hiring these people that the superintendent was hiring these people that were not cleared security or anything. They were substandard and they had to be replaced. It happens everywhere in all levels.
Right, and the level of responsibility, the clearance that you have to reach to work in a school these days, especially since 2011. With the Sandusky and the Penn State incident, is so much higher now than it was. I mean, I have friends that run moving companies that say they can't get drivers because they can't pass the drug test.
Right.
Well, imagine the kind of clearance you have to work at a school.
Right.
Okay, so now that stops some folks, some districts from, from some contracting. Now, I want to say one more thing. You were talking about your responsibility to the taxpayers. Not only do you basically forfeit your responsibility to direct that workforce, but here's the other thing that happens. You bring in a private company. They're profit motivated.
Sure.
They're also not from the community. So the tax dollars that folks are paying to their school districts don't stay with the workers who end up spending the money in those communities.
Right.
It goes outside of the community. There are examples of large subcontracting companies that subcontract out custodial services, transportation, and especially food service that end up donating to political causes. Why? Because they're a private company.
Yeah, and once
can.
You explain that to the public, to
yes.
people that know what's going on, they wake up and see what's coming down the pike, and they say, we don't want this.
Correct.
The problem is it's got to be sooner rather than later.
Sooner, it's a public awareness campaign more than anything else, Butch.
And I know, and that's a tough call. Matt, while we're here talking about this thing, let's move an area where you and I did not talk about prior to being here, Florida. We'll talk about Florida for
right.
a second. The schools down there are absolutely. I've been in touch with and my NSO colleague Tammy Whitaker, and she's keeps feeding me information. I've got it out to our people and. On the retired staff and NSO and some PSDA people, the southern part of that state is just devastated.
Yes.
I don't know what's going to happen there. How they're going to restart the schools? Let alone let's put this: how they're going to restart living?
Yeah. Well, schools are closed, quote unquote, until further notice.
Right.
There's another issue. I mean, how much time do I have?
We have about 7 minutes.
Oh, seven. Okay.
So, one of the things that you see also is that you've got a lot of folks down there. Natural disasters really accentuate the socioeconomic differences within a population.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your lower socioeconomic folks are stuck there.
Right.
When the governor issues a please evacuate order, those folks can't go.
They can't go.
Like you and I can.
The bus isn't going there. They don't own a car.
No.
Exactly.
One of my high school friends has a place down in, and his place was not touched. It's one of these big places. And he says, my place, I don't think it's that bad down there. And I could not believe he made that statement. I mean, all you have to do is look at the news, see what's going on, and see the pictures. It's a mess. And I don't know what's going to happen. Other parts of the state are impacted, too. Tammy feeds me information, and it's just terrible. Economically, it's destroyed. I mean, on the air, they interviewed a guy. He said he was a taxi driver. Tourism was a big part of his income. He said, no, I don't have no income.
And let's also look at it from the labor perspective as well. You have a population down there mostly, Florida is a right-to-work state.
Yep.
It's not very union-friendly nor union-strong.
Right.
And you have mostly hourly workers.
Right.
A lot of them do not have sick time or personal time off. And when the business closes, they don't make any money. They're hourly employees with no personal time.
And they cannot live day to day, let alone.
They cannot live day to day, nor can they repair their homes, which, as we saw in New Orleans, on the wages that they're going to make post disaster.
Right. And one of the other insidious things about this is obviously they're losing their jobs with the loss of the business. But if they're wait staff, their workers or their unemployment compensation is practically nothing.
Correct.
Because they've been paid $283 an hour for
correct.
So it's
which again we're there are several places in Pittsburgh that I'd like to plug, but I won't. But that are now paying fair wages to their service employees.
Where at? I'll plug them.
Casalula.
There we go.
good on food? The north side.
Good food.
Excellent food.
All right.
You heard that. We'll go there, Charles.
He's buying.
Matt, he's the only one here. I'm not.
He's on the payroll.
I know.
Am I always the one buying?
Because you're the youngest.
I got to stop hanging out with the retired guys.
That's true, Matt. Well, listen, what's a bargaining atmosphere? Right now you have some districts that are unsettled.
It's not too bad right now. We're settling up contracts pretty readily right now, and also we're starting to see PSEA, Pennsylvania State Education Association, is actually seeing an uptick in membership for the first time since about 2009.
Super.
We've bottomed out, now we're coming back.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing an increase in membership, but we're also seeing contracts getting finished up on the EA side, on the teacher side. ESP is still a little bit slower. But we don't. It's the labor strife around the state is. I'm gonna knock on wood on this one because you never know what can happen.
That's true now,
especially locally, we're bargaining contracts at a pretty steady rate.
Okay, let's take a gander at Wolf's budget coming down.
Oh, geez.
As of tomorrow, they're out of money.
Yeah,
a lot of things aren't gonna get paid, and there's speculation that they're gonna cut funds in public education $1 billion. They do that. And
we're right back to square one. We just got back to the pre-2011 levels that we had under Governor Corbett.
Right.
Just this year, we're able to get back to the spending that we'd seen. To cut $1 billion is just you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. I would rather have them. I don't like the idea of using one-time funds from the tobacco settlement or from wherever you're going to get it. But I don't like that idea. But I like it better than cutting.
Maybe we should get those guys drilling for Marcellus Shale or natural gas to kick in a couple of percent every year. What do you think?
Did
you see that hesitation there?
At the very least, that Shale's not going to be there forever. And at the very least, we have to set up a fund that will be able to, at least through the Department of Natural Resources, be able to, and environmental quality, be able to undo the damage that's been done by Marcellus Shale drilling. Now it's creating jobs. You know, it's part of our economy.
And the cracker plant in Manac is going to be a great thing.
Beaver County, my hometown.
Right.
We're my home county.
And all the plastics manufacturers are going to be a wonderful thing. But that's a 1 to 2 generational kind of thing. You're right. We are going to run eventually out of this Marcellus Shale. It's going to be like oil. It's going
Correct.
To get more and more difficult to pull it out of the ground. It comes up when it starts, it's like a bottle of champagne. Oh my God, it's everywhere. And then that's when the real work goes.
How many years is that going to take, Charles?
Butch, with the glut that we have right now, and with those companies coming out of India and China and elsewhere that are going to take it to a liquefied petroleum plant and then put it on a ship and take it home because they bought the companies here.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
very
who knows?
Interesting all the way around.
Well, Matt, let me just say it's a pleasure again to have you here with us.
Thanks, Butch.
Like I said, you are a frequent flyer.
I am a frequent flyer, and I just want to say really quickly, if you get a chance, folks, the Brentwood School District is trying to right outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is trying to subcontract their cafeteria staff as 15 lunch ladies. Stand a really good chance to lose their pensions and their health insurance.
Well, let the watchdog know when you're having an event or something. I'll be glad to come down.
Okay.
Okay? And we'll see what we can do.
We'll send a reporter.
Yep.
Thank you, gentlemen.
In the meantime, guys, we appreciate it. What's the name of that restaurant again?
Casalula on the north side, North Avenue.
North Avenue. Okay. Yeah, well, oh. No, we get 30 seconds.
Oh,
so
gee, well, let me
you
see.
You got to sing a ditty.
A ditty. What kind of ditty can I sing?
I don't know.
I have not.
We better cut it off before you sing
you're absolutely right.
Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You've been listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Charles.